powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Fixed Ops Director Joe Chambers and Service Manager Eric Howardigy, who are also the hosts of Service Drive Live. Welcome to the show, gents.
Hey, Corey.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to speaking with you guys about this topic. Now, this show has talked about customer retention, focused on employee retention, how to be one team. But this episode, I want to talk more about the promotion, top things you've done once you've got promoted. So, Joe, I'm just going to throw this question out at you. Give me your top five things you did once you got to your new role.
Wow. You know, there's so many things when you get promoted, right? You have no idea what you're going to, you know, you think you know what's up and then you find out you really don't know what's up, right?
Yeah.
First and foremost is when I went from a service manager to a operations director for multiple facilities, one of the biggest things I needed to do is find, to make sure we are consistent across the board, right? Those consistencies were one of the things I tackled first and foremost. Then I went into the measurements because you can't measure anything that's not consistently across the board, and I can't improve performance if we're not measuring it properly. Mm-hmm. I would say talent, obviously you wanted to take a look at talent. I had to address the talent a little bit differently from when I was a manager because I couldn't go person by person for the entire organization. I had to focus on a smaller team of managers, but I had to focus a lot more on them because those folks were actually focusing on the talent of the people that they brought on.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's probably only three, but we can go more.
Yeah. I mean, my guess would be that, you know, that some two more things would probably be looking at your overall analytics of how your stores are doing, right? And trying to improve those things. Cause you want to make sure any position you take that you're improving it and making that needle meeting your budgets, right? Cause you're going to get a hefty budget.
Yeah. And I mean, we definitely went into the measurements and the forecasting and that sort of stuff. And that brings me to probably the super important thing. They're all important, but the objectives and working with the teams to get their objectives so they all knew where they needed to be and then measuring those objectives, right? There's the last step is holding those folks accountable to hit those objectives. And that accountability, when you're working with management, it's a different ballgame.
Spoken like a true fixed ops director right there. Now, Eric, I'll ask the same question to you. You went from being a writer for a number of years to basically getting a set of keys saying, this dealership is yours to run and manage. What were your top five things that you had to do? Because I'm sure you replaced somebody that, you know, either went up in upper management or went to a different dealership. So you had to try to show why you were worthy of this position.
I tackled those five things a little bit differently.
There's a shocker.
The first thing that I went into was what I thought needed to be attacked. And that's the first thing, right? You go in all aggressive thinking you could change the entire world and it's going to be bright the next day. And I quickly found out that wasn't the truth. Behind that hits the anxiety mode. What did I do? Is this picture too big for me? So those two things were really important because the next three are just that much more important behind it. Once I was able to control exactly what I felt needed to be fixed and the anxiety behind, I don't know if I'm good enough for it, because that's something that starts to sink in after a couple of failures, were the three most important. Number one, what is principal looking for? Right. Let's get the principle right, because at the end of the day, that's who signs your paycheck. That's who stays. That's what keeps you in work. The next thing was, what is what you and your team is looking for to make sure you can marry those concepts to make sure they match up with what principle is looking for to be able to deliver. And the final thing that I looked at was actually culture. I want to make sure that we have a culture where everybody feels included so we could build this together, because knocking one brick off of a house isn't a big thing. But when you knock down a whole wall, I mean, the house falls apart. So I wanted to make sure we built it together one brick at a time.
Oh, I like that. What do you think of that? That's pretty good.
He's the guy, right?
He's the guy. So, Eric, let me ask you this. When you went from being a service writer to a manager, were your communication skills where you wanted them to be or where they needed to be compared to where you are right now?
Far. Not. Didn't even speak the same language.
How so? What if you look back on when your first day of being a service manager was to current, what is the difference?
You know, it's a great question because just today, I had our number one writer yesterday tell me, hey, I want to become a manager. And right from the get-go, I mean, I jumped out of excitement because we've been working on this a long time and it finally came to be real. So just today, we started training right from the first ticket she brought over to me, you know, here you go, here's a ticket, go dispatch. Said, oh, no, we're not dispatching this ticket. I said, you're dispatching this ticket, but here's how you're going to do it. And the language of knowing how to speak to technicians and how to speak to advisors and knowing the entire flow of the dealership versus only looking at it from a service advisor's desk is a totally different world. Once you become a very good advisor, great advisor, you understand the language of the customer before they even arrive. And you need to have that same language before your employees arrive at the store to be prepared to respond or be prepared to accept the challenges that may come through the day and not let them ruin the results at the end.
All right. I like that take. Joe, the same question for you. When you went from being a service manager to a fixed operations director, was your communication skills where they needed to be right from the start? And if you look at your overall career, how have they evolved from day one to current?
Oh boy. I mean, the evolution of Joe Chambers was a pretty tough path. Having lived it, it was a tough one.
I've lived it all.
You lived it all. No, my communication methods were short, to the point, directed. I did not take into account, because that's how I did it, right? I didn't take into account how the team did it, what made each team member tick. I didn't speak their language. I was only speaking my language. And why doesn't everybody understand what I'm saying? I understand what I'm saying. Why don't they understand? So I shifted that and I really had to learn how to manage, how to manage those people, those leaders. And leaders they're complex. So when you have to manage a group of leaders and you have to motivate them to motivate their own people, you really, really have to get that language dialed in.
And how did you get that dialed in? Was there one thing that you did? Did you take a class? Did you do some reading? Did your wife tell you how to communicate better?
Well, my wife's been telling me how to communicate better for about 25 years or so. But I will say, you know what? I made a couple of mistakes and I fired some people that I probably shouldn't have fired. And I learned the hard way. I definitely, I got burned and I got burned by holding the match to my own skin. I was the cause of it and a lot of introspection. And then I did end up doing a lot of studying and reading and, you know, everything from Dale Carnegie to, Maxwell to Carl Sewell. I absorbed as many of those books as I can, especially on leadership. And they were helpful, but you know, Corey, it was the day-to-day interactions. And I tried to never make the same mistake twice. And I've definitely not made those early mistakes later in my career.
I like that. Okay, well said. We've had this conversation before, but we both know that the employee is changing. Your newer generation or younger generation, if you will, need to be spoken to differently and have different goals within sure. within their job. Maybe I'm just, coming off the cuff here, but if you're like me, I'll push my mother out of the way to get a dollar, right? This newer generation,
I like it.
They want experiences. Guy, right? They want experiences. They want days off. They want recognition, right? I didn't want any of that. Just give me more money and I'll do it. I'll go through the brick wall. I don't care.
Yeah, it's and I'll let Eric go here, but it was it's very, very difficult for a couple old school grinders to adapt. But I think once you start to look at what your results are getting you, if you don't adapt, well, somebody else is going to find out what it's like to have your job.
Right. You know what? I'm going to say this out loud because I really don't do this too often. Kudos to my mommy, who actually taught me how to do the push. She's like, son, you're not pushing strong enough. I'm still standing here, right? And we have old school training. I say this all the time. You know, I had some of the best mentorship coming up, who's the man right next to me. And we're actually growing in a really nice era. We're coming out of what's the old school era, and we're actually transitioning into what's the new era. And we're both learning. He carries a lot of old school, but is able to see the new school. He's able to teach me the old school while I'm looking at the new school. And there's times that we agree to disagree. There's times when we challenge each other's opinion. But at the end of the day, the most important thing we both have learned together is how to listen.
I'm right.
Yeah, right. As I'm saying, how to listen to each other.
This guy's right. That's what I learned. That's language I know more than anything. Is I'm right.
And I'm slowly helping him as we go along. But that being said, it's a very unique dynamic that I see that we carry going in and out is making sure, hey, Eric, you need to apply a little bit more old school versus your new school mentality of approaching the situation. And vice versa, I might tell him, hey, Joe, in this particular situation, we need to address it this way. And you have to be careful with that balance, because at the end of the day, we still need some rigid guidance when it comes to these very tough situations. Because when the things get going tough, everybody looks back and what do we do now?
Well, yeah. And with the employees today, if you take that old school tough mentality, and because it's tough going, and you take that tough stance,
and you're gonna lose some talent.
You got to change it up a little bit. Unfortunately, you got to change it up, but you got to know where to draw the line.
Yeah, and there's some non-negotiables that mm-hmm. has to be universal with any employee, whether new school or old school, right? Mm-hmm. So, Joe, let me ask you this question: when you went from being a service manager to a fixed operations director, were you great at recognizing others and being that mentor for them right off the bat? Or was that something that after you went through John Maxwell and all the leadership classes that you're like, okay, I'm more than just a boss. I'm a leader. And I need to make sure that these people know that I appreciate them.
You know, one of the things that I was really fortunate of, and I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, I was a leader at the service desk. Okay. And I was coaching my peers at the service desk when I was a writer. And then when I became a manager, I was coaching some of the other managers. And so when I went from being a manager to a director, I realized that my team needed, but you know what, they needed some attention. And unfortunately, I didn't realize it soon enough, but eventually I did, Corey. Eventually I figured it out.
All right. And Eric, if I'm not mistaken, you do a lot of the training within your department and a couple other dealerships mm-hmm. within the group. Is that right?
Yeah, training is something I'm extremely passionate about.
Okay. Run me through how your training works with, you know, let's say 4 or 5 different advisors and going from ages 20 to 50, right? In that age range, how do you communicate effectively to that group?
The first thing is I have to find the respect ground level between the entire group and the room. What is the 50-year-old looking for versus the 20-year-old looking for? And what is the experience level in life? Because that does matter when you're writing service. Once I find a ground level from that point, I start teaching from what I live through as an advisor. And it's tough. The advisor position is very difficult right now, but it can be very rewarding. I teach with the end in mind. So I automatically put up the reward. Here's what we get. And then a lot of people build a pyramid from the bottom up. That's great. I build my pyramid from the top to the bottom because I need to know how my pyramid is going to end. So when we start training, I always throw what the final part is so we know where we're all going. It's crazy, but when it comes to movies, I like to know the ending first. That's crazy, but I like to know the ending before we start to move. Before
start
we
start with the ending,
I do
mind.
The same thing when I do when
is the movie going to be worth your time?
That's right? It.
So is the training going to be worth your time? Is the result going to be worth your time?
So we put it out there, and then at that point, I look for different perspectives because the person who grew up in X neighborhood with X type of life is different from the person who's Y. And then when we marry both of those opinions, we say, hey, listen, two of you have different opinions. Well, there's also a Z opinion, which is a customer. We have to be open-minded when we're approaching these situations, and we teach each other how to be more open-minded versus how to be narrow-minded and only training one different style.
I like that. That's so you must be very successful within doing that, because it sounds like that is something where everyone can kind of gravitate to. I really like what you said of, you know, having, you know, thinking with the end in mind. That's perfect. Right. So I really like that. Thanks for sharing that. Joe, we're getting close here on time. So I really want your three takeaways of this episode, and Eric, your three takeaways. So we'll start with Joe. What are your three takeaways that anyone listening to this episode, whether it's an advisor who wants to be a manager or a manager who wants to be a fixed operations director, what are three takeaways you can give them that they can kind of really look at themselves and say, man, I can do that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm going to say is, you know, I'm going to give three takeaways that we discussed here are things that I learned about, unfortunately, you know, and some of them I learned the hard way. The first and foremost is you have to be empathetic to your team. If you don't understand your team and you don't try to understand your team and you don't stop and think about what things are saying, what they're looking at and what their position looks like, what does their view look like? You're not going to be able to lead them. You're not going to be able to coach them. The second thing I think is probably super important is, and Eric brought it up, is that culture. Okay. You have to create a culture of honesty and integrity right off the bat. And then the last thing is accountability. You said it sounds like a fixed ops director. Yeah, well, we do. We live and die by accountability, because if you don't hold your team accountable, you're not gonna win. But if you don't hold yourself accountable, you're not gonna hold on to your team.
I like that. That's perfect. Eric, what about you? From if you're thinking, you know, some of this listening to this, a service writer wants to be a manager, you know, what are three good takeaways? Or even if you let's go back into it back further, someone who's a porter or a wash kid or someone who's just a what they call a lot person, you know, what are three takeaways you can give that person to give them some encouragement and then say they can do that?
The first thing I'm going to tell somebody is don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to sound silly. I call myself, you know, when we started training, I said, you know, be king of the corny. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there, because at the end of the day, if you fail, you're only failing yourself. Don't worry about the audience that's out there.
He is king of the corny, by the way.
The second thing that I would tell somebody is look at your end in mind. Where are you looking to be in success? Yeah, put your goal. I have a goal in mind, and how am I going to get there to reach it? Draw the map out. It's one of the things you told me when I first started being a manager, is carve out your success, build a roadmap for yourself, and then find a way to get there. Build your own map. The last thing I'm going to tell somebody is going to be is getting better is not easy. It's hard. Losing weight, building muscle, whatever it is that you're doing, it's not an easy process. And there's going to be times when you want to quit. There's going to be times when that sweat's coming down the forehead that you can't see. Open your eyes, clear it off. Getting better is not easy. Those are the three takeaways I would give people.
It's good.
Love it. Love it. So if you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends, their family into your establishment, then congratulations. You've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Joe and Eric, that is all the time we have for today. I want to thank you very much for being a part of this episode, and I'll end like I do with every episode. Will you please come back?
Thank you, Corey. And yes, I will.
Absolutely. Same here, Corey. Much agreed.
Thanks again, Corey.
Thank you.
See you guys.
thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Pasha. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.